Beverly. You're listening to The Divided Kingdom, and this is a new show. I need to do a couple of repeats, as those of you that are faithful witnesses, I should say listeners, will have noticed. 2 weeks ago, I somehow threw the wrong little switch in my cell phone, and lo and behold, I shut off the entire internet and the phone itself. And it took going to the Verizon store to figure out what was wrong. Turned out they had it fixed in like 1 minute, but it was too late to do the show by that time. So last week I had come down with a serious cold, and I just couldn't do the show. I couldn't get enough energy to speak out loud for that length of time. I knew my voice wouldn't last, so we had to do another repeat. But today, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, we are live. Well, at least we're recording it live. Let's put it that way. On Tuesday the 5th. Well, we have a lot of good articles today because I got a lot of leftovers that I had prepared for last week and the week before, and then a couple that I got just today on Tuesday. So I picked some of the best ones. I'm going to begin with one that in some ways seems a bit fanciful, and yet it's symbolic of a mystery that's been going on for many, many years, as I'll comment about in a few minutes. This first article was from the Washington Times on May 3rd by Colin Dinkley. Trump keeps us... I can't talk, can I? Let me try that again. Trump keeps us up in the air with his hints of what's coming in a new batch of UFO files. Dateline, Washington. President Donald Trump says the Pentagon is preparing to release some very interesting, that's in quotes, very interesting UFO files uncovered by his administration, generating a mix of buzz and skepticism as he hints at new revelations around questions of alien life. Trump started stoking interest in the extraterrestrial in February, directing federal agencies to release their records related to extraterrestrial life and UFOs. Since then, he has built suspense with tantalizing updates, teasing, an imminent release of documents never before shared by the U.S. government. Trump said, quote, "We're going to be releasing a lot of things that we haven't. I think some of it's going to be very interesting to people." And he said that at a Wednesday, and I assume that would be last Wednesday. Yes. This is Dateline, May 3rd, so it would have been Wednesday. And if my calculations are correct, I think that would have been April 29th. And this was at a White House event celebrating NASA astronauts. Trump has relished in portraying himself as the president who spills the secrets. In the first week returning to office, he ordered the release of records related to the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King Jr. Disclosures revealed little beyond what was already known. In the build-up to that release, Trump said the American people deserve transparency and truth. Now, as he turns to the sky, the president has struck a similar tone, suggesting answers to decades-old questions may be on the way. His February directive on social media called for transparency around, quote, alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomena, no UAPs, and unidentified flying objects, UFOs. He also said their first releases will begin very, very soon, so you can go out and see if that phenomena is correct. You'll figure it out. And then the article goes on exercising caution, saying that some of the people who are pretty knowledgeable about such things have said that he doesn't believe there will be any bombshells in these records. In fact, Sean Kirkpatrick, a physicist and former career intelligence officer, who led the office, and that's the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. He led it until 2023. He said he has seen the government's records and believes there are no bombshell revelations to be found. He said, quote, readers should not get their hopes up because there's going to be some document with photos interviewing the aliens when they came down, because that just doesn't exist, unquote. So that's an interesting article. Give you a personal, shall we say, personal viewpoint. I can remember when I was in middle school. And here we're dating back to the very late 1950s, very early 1960s. UFOs were a big topic. I can remember with a bunch of guys going out one night. One of the guys had received a telescope for some sort of a holiday. And we looked in the sky all we could that evening for 2 or 3 hours. The only thing we saw that might have been a little bit remarkable, but probably in retrospect it wasn't, was a bright light moving across the sky. Now, it could have been an airplane. Could have been a satellite. The satellites were being launched by that time, and it was soon after sunset when they reflect sunlight back to Earth. But we had a good time. And I can remember getting several books on the subject of UFOs over the next decade. And they had lots of examples of apparently unexplained and unexplainable phenomena. Some of them even echoed back long before the term flying saucer was used, to incidents in the very late 1800s, when strange airships were reported seen by what seemed like reputable people in American newspapers. What they were is anybody's guess. Now, dirigibles had been invented by that time, but these were not shaped like the typical dirigible, with kind of a football shape. These were more long, cigar-shaped affairs. And this is before the Wright brothers, first heavier-than-air vehicles. So what those were is anybody's guess. I even, because my interest hasn't totally died out in the subject, managed to get hold of a nice little reprint of a book that came out that I probably read way back in the late 1950s or early 1960s. This is a reprint in a nice little hardcover format of the Report on Unidentified Flying Objects by Edward J. Ruppelt, who was one of the original directors of the Air Force investigation, the U.S. government investigation into unidentified flying objects. And it is a well-balanced presentation. It doesn't claim any kind of fanciful things. Some of those books in those days claim of contact with aliens and ESP and all kinds of things. This is a more sober, honest interpretation. It just goes to show, though, think about that. 1956, we're talking over 60-odd years ago. Well, over 65 years ago. And the subject still comes up every now and then for debate. Well, enough of that. So, what else we have today? Well, here's something good. Should get us a little upset. From WorldNet Daily, April 19th. Feds spy hundreds of laptops, put them in a closet. And it says, this is by Jeremy Portnoy, Real Clear Wire, April 19th, 2026. The seven governors of the Federal Reserve are supported by a staff of more than 3,000 economists who analyze current fiscal conditions. But according to an Inspector General report from March 30th, they can't keep track of their own belongings. The Federal Reserve Board bought 677 laptops for $1.4 million in June 2025 and left them unopened in the closet for 8 months. They were finally taken out of the boxes once federal auditors, let me say that again, you probably couldn't hear me, once federal auditors questioned the purchase, but they won't be in use until the end of the year. And that would be the year 2026. Key fact, when the Federal Reserve buys laptops, staffers are supposed to tag them with the barcode sticker so they can be tracked. That usually happens a month after the laptops arrive. But the 677 new laptops were exposed to, quote, significant risk of theft or loss, unquote, because they were never tagged. After the laptops are tagged, it can take months before employees start using them. The Federal Reserve does not know how many laptops are tagged, but not in use, and auditors could not figure it out either. Well, that gives you the main idea. There is more, and if you want to look it up, you can go to WorldNet Daily, April 19th. But I will just make this one comment. I did a little long division, actually with a calculator. I don't do much long division these days. I did enough of that when I was a kid. $1.4 million spread out over 677 laptops means they're worth over $2,000 a piece. Now, maybe I'm just naive. Maybe I'm not up in things, but over $2,000 seems like a pretty expensive laptop to me. But what do I know? Anyway, the government is notorious for overspending on all kinds of things, laptops and toilet seats. So let's move on. Here we have Fox News. Lawmakers demand answers as scientists tied to U.S. secrets die or vanish. Now, this is one of those things that some people say is just a conspiracy theory. Of course, some of you folks like to tag anything that they don't believe in as a conspiracy theory. What is it? Well, this is from Fox News, April 20th, 2026. I looked it up today on the internet, and it's still an open question. And you can find both sides debated. All you have to do if you want to look this up and get the most up-to-date thing is just type in on the internet a search, for missing scientists, and hit the tab for news to get the most up-to-date information. And you'll find umpteen different websites. Some rather sober, some just saying it's conspiracy theory, and some more seriously saying there's something strange going on. Well, let's see what Fox News had to say. This is by Morgan Phillips, April 20th. House Republicans are pressing multiple federal agencies for answers about reports that at least 10 individuals tied to sensitive U.S. nuclear and aerospace programs have died or disappeared in recent years, with lawmakers pointing to public reporting that raises questions about a possible, quote, sinister connection, unquote, between the cases. And I'm going to skip down a little bit. James Comer, who is the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, and Eric Burleson, subcommittee chairman, they're both Republicans. They have said, quote, if the reports are accurate, these deaths and disappearances may represent a grave threat to U.S. national security and to U.S. personnel with access to scientific secrets. Now, just to give a little quick idea, I'll go to a companion article that appeared the same day, April 20th, in the New York Post. It was entitled House Oversight Panel Probes Missing or Dead Nuclear and Rocket Scientists. Grave Threat. Now, this is a bit repetitive, but the one thing this does have is a little identification of who they're talking about. For example, Michael David Hicks, who was employed at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory from 1998 to 2020. Monica Reeser, who was NASA Lab Materials Processing Group Director. She went missing in June 2023 while hiking and has never been found. Retired Air Force General William Neal McCaslin disappeared in February of this year, 2026, from his Albuquerque, New Mexico home, and he did not have his prescription glasses or his cell phone. And there are other cases. In fact, they have a diagram that shows the 11 in this diagram. Some of the others were Frank Maywald, top scientist detecting signs of alien life. Carl Grillmeyer, scientist working on infrared telescopes. And it mentions that his work found a planet with water in the distance of beyond the solar system. Melissa Casius, an administrative assistant at Los Alamos. There, of course, the research goes on of atomic weapons and nuclear energy. Also at Los Alamos, New Mexico, Anthony Chavez, former employee. And we already mentioned Monica Jacinto Reza. She had a connection with NASA and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And William Neal McCaslin, as we mentioned before, he oversaw RAS's projects. So, this is something we want to keep an eye on. It mentions, in summing it up, two other missing or deceased U.S. personnel worked with NASA, JPL, two more were affiliated with the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. Another was an MIT scientist studying nuclear fusion, which of course is a hot topic these days. There have been a lot of claims of controlled nuclear fusion, yet nothing seems to have come of them. So I'm not, forgive me if I'm a little skeptical about that at the present time. All right. So those two articles, the one from Fox News, the other from New York Post on April 20th, last month, discussed those topics about the missing scientists. Okay, and a whole different topic. And let me just interrupt. If you like this program, we are supported by those of you listening. I have come to the point where I just don't have any spare money. Without Elizabeth, my late wife's financial help, if that's the right way to put it. In other words, after her death, my Social Security went down. I guess I could say hers ceased to exist. And also my pension as a teacher in Maryland was, her pension was cut way back. I get a small part of it. So I simply don't have the money to fund the program myself. I have several people who have unfailingly helped me out. But lately, it's been not quite enough to pay for the program. So if you can help out, it would be a great help to us. And just send any kind of help you can give us to the Divided Kingdom. Or you can send it to me, Lou Caverly, LouCaverly. Post Office Box 2828, Bethlehem, Maryland, and the zip code is 21609. I haven't said that in so long. Let me double check, make sure I'm right. Yes, the zip code is 21609. I'd appreciate any help you can give. I'll give you that address a little later. And there are many ways you can listen to this program. An easy way to find them is to go to the website that I have, with the help of a dear lady named Angel. We've kept that website going. I've just put in some new things into it to update the program list. I've been kind of shirking those for a few days. Well, more than a few days, few months. But I'm getting back on top of that now. So if you want to see what particular programs had, I'm working backward. So the ones for April are now in the website. Soon the ones for March and February will be as well. And the website is DividedKingdomRadio.com. All one word, DividedKingdomRadio.com. And that lists all the different ways you can hear the program. One or two of them are no longer active. The only two now on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, are the Thursday evening, and as far as I know, the Saturday morning. Due to other obligations, I haven't been able to listen myself on Saturday morning. But the last I knew, WWCR was kind enough to give a repeat broadcast for no extra charge on Saturday morning. On Friday, makes that Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, you can hear the program on shortwave at 4.840 megahertz. You can also hear it on the internet at WWCR.com. And Saturday morning at 8 a.m., your frequency, if you want to hear it on shortwave, is 7.490 megahertz. And again, you can just listen directly on the internet, WWCR, short for Worldwide Christian Radio, .com. All right, and I should say, too, there is a complete listing of all the different venues that you can take a glance at on the website. And again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Well, I hope my voice holds out. So far, so good. We're about a third of the way done, and it hasn't given up yet. Yesterday, I was very doubtful. I had almost lost my voice, especially if I didn't talk real deep. But I think I'm going to be able to hold out today. I agree, though, it is a little strange sounding, but that's the head cold after effects. Now we go to the Washington Times for this article. Fairfax County, Virginia School Board eliminates Veterans Day holiday, disappoints once again. And the subtitle says, slap in the face to military connect families. This one's by the editorial board of the Washington Times, Friday, April 17th, and they list as opinion. Students attending Fairfax County Public Schools, the largest school district in Northern Virginia, and I'll interject that that it's roughly speaking the Washington, D.C. suburbs of Virginia, that school board, Fairfax County, has the most days off in the fewest five-day school weeks of any other school system in the nation, thanks in part to six cultural holidays, a ballooning number of early release days by elementary school students, and teacher work days. Students in Fairfax spent only 52% of their school year attending five-day work weeks, the lowest percentage in Fairfax County history, and the lowest among the largest school districts in America. Parents are rightfully frustrated by the inconvenience of scrambling for child care, and they are downright mad at the lack of consistent time frames, schedules, and instructional time, which students have shown produce better academic outcomes. Now, let me get a sip of coffee here. Maybe that'll help the voice a wee bit. Well, we'll see. The coffee was good anyway. I am, of course, a former teacher. And it is astounding to see that only 52% of the school year weeks were five-day weeks for the students and the teachers. How do you learn anything if you're not being taught? Let that sink in for a minute. How does a student learn anything if they're not being taught, that is, they're not in school with a teacher? And if almost half of your time is days off, or half days off, whatever, how are you going to succeed? And then you're going to go out to college, or to the workplace, underprepared. And these two good left wingers think that's okay as long as you treat people nice and we are inclusive. Well, that's my comment. That's not Washington Times, but I think they would agree. Getting back to the article. Roughly, oh, now hear this. This is big. Roughly a quarter of students in Fairfax failed at 2025 standards of learning exams. These would be statewide exams, I'll interject, in math, reading, and science, according to the Virginia Department of Education. Only five of the county's 25 high schools have an average SAT score above the minimum points considered acceptable to get into a competitive college. That's worth reading a second time. Only five out of the county's 25 high schools have an average SAT score above the minimum considered acceptable to get into a competitive college. To address parental concerns, the Fairfax County School Board met this month to discuss the 2026-2027 school calendar. Democrats recommended taking away two federal holidays, Veterans Day and Indigenous Peoples Day, what they call Columbus Day, to help establish a routine. The recommendations didn't match what most parents wanted, paring back teacher work days, early releases, or non-federal holidays, such as Diwali. Now, that's not what the parents want. That didn't sound quite right there. How many of you out there in listening land know what Diwali is? D-I-W-A-L-I. I didn't. But the trusty internet is always a place to go when you don't know what to do. I found out it's an Indian holiday from India. I don't know if there's a lot of Indian folks there. They're entitled to the holidays, but I don't think we have to give them a day off for every single nationality in the world. And it goes on to say in the article, most parents don't have to work on federal holidays and would like to celebrate them with their children. Yet, the Liberal School Board voted, and it should have come as no surprise, to maintain Indigenous Peoples Day and eliminated Veterans Day. And the decision was a slap in the face to military-connected families who represent more than 7% of Fairfax's total student population. That gives you the basic idea there. Fairfax County, by the way, and this is my own opinion, but I think it's based upon fact, Fairfax County has been notorious for trying to cover up incidents where transgender youth have attacked girls and other such scandals. And there have been some federal investigations into that. But they seem to re-elect these people over and over again. And just to conclude, here's a sentence that's worth a couple of sentences. Fairfax County residents and taxpayers deserve better. The school system spends $22,600 per pupil, more than the average annual tuition of $19,000 at any of the county's 191 private schools. That's an astounding figure right there. I taught at a very nice Christian school. I don't believe the tuition was even $10,000 there. And that's saying even the private schools, many of them charge $19,000 or more. Yet the public schools, which are not doing very well, have charged $22,600 per pupil. They're not exactly charging, they're just spending. And the concluding sentence, the article says, Fairfax County Public Schools, once nationally renowned for academic excellence, is just another example of how liberal policies fail the constituents they are supposed to serve. That was in the Washington Times, state lines, April 17th, 2026, but just a couple of weeks ago. Well, let's see. Well, how many of you out there eat meat? Probably most of you. I do. But there are some people who think that's a terrible thing. And apparently there are a lot of people in the Netherlands think that. Because here's an article from Fox News. Major city bans ads for meat, fossil fuels, and sweeping crackdown. Critics call overreach. And the subtitle says the local officials say the move is part of a plan to reach carbon neutrality by 2050 and cut meat consumption in half. This is by Sophia Compton, Fox News, published May 4th, 2026. So as I record this on Tuesday, May 5th, this came out just yesterday. Amsterdam, so there's our city I'm talking about now. Amsterdam has reportedly become the first capital city in the world to ban public ads for meat and fossil fuels, wiping burgers, gas-powered cars, and airline promotions from billboards, tram stops, and metro stations. Since May 1st, the Dutch capital and tourist hotspots advertising landscape has undergone a dramatic shift. Ads once showcasing chicken nuggets, SUVs, and budget flights have been replaced with promotions for museums and concerts, according to BBC News. Local politicians say the sweeping move is part of an aggressive climate agenda, with goals to reach carbon neutrality by 2050 and cut meat consumption in half, the outlet reported. And as a comment, and I am probably going to massacre the person's name, I don't even know if it's a man or a woman, Aniek Veenhoff from the Green Left Party said, quote, "The climate crisis is very urgent. I mean, if you want to be leading in climate policies and you rent out your walls to exactly the opposite, then what are you doing?" Unquote. But critics argue the policy crosses the line, calling it an overreach that attempts to engineer personal choices, according to BBC News. The Dutch Meat Association blasted the ban as, quote, "an undesirable way to influence consumer behavior," unquote, warning that meat provides essential nutrients and should remain visible and accessible, the outlet reported. Now, it seems to me that some nutrients can only be obtained from meat, and that vegetarians have to supplement their diet with pills. I am not 100% sure of this, so don't quote me on this, but it seems to me that vitamin B12 is one of those. And without that, your health will decline. And let me skip down. We have so many good things to cover. We don't need to read all of this. Supporters are framing the policy as a broad cultural shift, even comparing meat ads to cigarette campaigns of decades past. Well, I'm going to interject here. Seems to me cigarettes are known to cause cancer. Thank God my dad stopped smoking cigarettes soon after I was born. He was close to 40 years old at the time, and I think that's one of the good reasons he had a long and happy life. He got rid of those cigarettes when he was still at least somewhat young, not really young, and he was an avid cigarette smoker for a long time. 3 packs of non-filtered Camels a day. That's a lot of cigarettes when you stop to think about it. But we do know now that they do cause cancer, lung cancer. I didn't know that meat caused cancer, although it might, in excess, contribute to colon cancer. But eating a reasonable amount, I don't believe, is a big danger. Certainly not to be compared to cigarettes. But some of these more, radical left-wingers, grasping for anything they can find to well, to back their agenda. One or two other sentences from the article. Other Dutch cities, including Haarlem and Utrecht, have rolled out similar restrictions, while cities across Europe continue pushing to curb fossil fuel advertising, BBC News reported. And of course, in the USA, it's different. The Department of Health, this is again from the article, the Department of Health and Human Services earlier this year unveiled updated dietary guidance featuring an inverted food pyramid. The top of the pyramid, now the wider part of the structure, is built on meat, fats, fruits, and vegetables, while whole grains are at the narrow bottom. Well, that's interesting. This article, once again, came from Fox News. Major city bans ads for meat, etc. on May 4th, 2026. Very current. All right. We've talked a lot in this program, including when my dear wife Elizabeth was still living, about the COVID cover-up and the dangers of the COVID shots. Well, I didn't realize this, but here's a very interesting title. Alert! Rand Paul warns only a few days remain to charge Fauci over, quote, worst cover-up in modern medical history. This is by Jonathan Jones, May 5th, from the Western Journal. Western Journal. Senator Rand Paul is once again raising the stakes in his long-running campaign of holding Dr. Anthony Fauci, the former director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, accountable. This time, Paul said the clock is ticking because the statute of limitations for potential criminal charges will soon expire. In a post on Monday afternoon, and as I say, this is dated the very day I'm recording this, it'll be Monday, May 4th, posted on X, Rand Paul warned that the Justice Department has only days to act. He wrote, quote, the DOJ has 1 week left to charge Anthony Fauci for the worst cover-up in modern medical history. He lied to Congress about funding gain-of-function in Wuhan, China. Paul continued, millions died, trillions were spent. I don't know if I said that loud enough to hear. Trillions were spent, unquote. And Fauci walked away with book deals and fawning media coverage instead of handcuffs, he added. The Kentucky Republican, Durand Paul, said he has renewed. My voice is beginning to go, but I hope it'll last another 18 minutes or so. The Kentucky Republican said he has renewed his push for a criminal case with only days left and complained that Fauci is cutting away with the lockdown-era crime for too long. Rand Paul wrote, quote, I re-up my criminal referral to the DOJ because the evidence is overwhelming. Justice has been delayed long enough. Unquote. At the center of that demand are questions about federal funding, secret research, and what was said under oath by Fauci concerning COVID and after the epidemic. Let's see. I'm going to jump down a bit here to some of the highlights. Let me see now. And a letter cited by the office, and that would be what office we're talking about here. I guess it's just Representative Paul's office. And a letter cited by the office, Paul wrote that investigators had obtained records suggesting efforts to conceal information. 1 February 2020, email cited in the statement described officials discussing how to, quote, get ahead of the science and narrative, unquote, on COVID origins. Another message showed Fauci telling then-NIH Director Francis Collins. Quote, please delete this email at your reader. Unquote. And I said, Representative, I should have said Senator Rand Paul, said in a statement, Dr. Fauci misled Congress and the American people. The evidence is clear. Unquote. And as I said earlier, you've been listening to this program. We even wrote a book. Sad to say, all the copies of it, as far as I know, are now given out. But that book, COVID and Coming Chaos, collects a lot of the evidence that Rand Paul has been talking about, and more, about the shenanigans by the government and others concerning the COVID years. The lockdowns that weren't needed, schools that were closed, and for students who almost always got very mild cases of COVID. We could go on and on and on. Most of you know about it, so I won't belabor it. Well, what else do we have here? Let me see. Here's one that appeared in the Western Journal. Pro-life activist targeted by Biden walks away with massive lawsuit payout. This is by Michael Austin, April 18, 2026. The pro-life activist and father of seven was targeted with an FBI raid under the Biden administration when a lawsuit payout over $1 million, one of the ministries supporting him, announced earlier this month. Mark Houck, H-O-U-C-K, who lives near Philadelphia, regularly ministered outside the Planned Parenthood location in the Center City neighborhood, sometimes taking his 12-year-old son to experience the harrowing work of trying to save babies on the brink of murder. On one occasion, in October 2021, a volunteer clinic escort verbally harassed his son in profane language, prompting Hope to shove the man to protect his child. The Thomas More Society, which represented Hope, noted that the private case against was dismissed after the clinic escort failed to appear at the hearing. But almost a year later, in September 2022, over two dozen heavily armed FBI agents raided Houck's home, shocking his wife and young children. The Department of Justice, and this is a quote by the Thomas More Society, the Department of Justice had decided to make an example of Mark, charging him with two felony counts and threatening him with prison time for defending his family and advocating for life. Again, that's a quote from the Thomas More Society. I'll face 11 years in prison under the Freedom of Access Clinic Entrances Act, also known as the FACE Act, but he was acquitted after his jury trial in January 2023. Nearly 5 years after the initial incident, the Ministry 40 Days for Life announced in a video that a lawsuit filed against the Department of Justice resulted in the payout of more than $1 million. 40 Days for Life CEO Sean Carney called the settlement a, quote, huge victory for free speech, unquote. He also described it as a huge victory for all Americans who want our right to speak our minds peacefully, in a law-abiding way, without fear of our own government. It has been absolutely night and day. Under Biden, at one point, we were getting 1 to 2 inquiries from the FBI per week at different 40 days for life locations, Carney added. The Christian Post noted that the lawsuit settlement comes as the Department of Justice, now under the control of the Trump administration, is preparing release a report on the weaponization of the FACE Act against anti-abortion activists. Some Republican lawmakers have called for repealing the FACE Act to avoid future targeting of Christians. And again, this is by Michael Austin, The Western Journal, April 18th. Well, we couldn't have a program without talking about California. And here's something from Fox News. I don't have a date on this one for some reason, but it was probably the middle of April, or the late, latter part of April. The $1,600 lettuce. California growers warned of master plan strangling family farms. And the subtitle says diesel was once 5 cents a gallon. There's one Malibu area farmer whose fuel costs have more than tripled in 3 years. This is again from Fox News, and it was by Christian Altus and Albert Guevas Fantosi. I apologize if I massacred those names. California farmers Craig Underwood and Larry Thorne speak with Fox News Digital about how they're confronting a harsh new reality as soaring fuel, energy, and labor costs threaten to upend generations of farming. And I suspect this came out before the Iran war had begun, or in the early days of it, before the prices went up so much. So even before then, the prices were way high. In the rugged salt-sprayed valleys, or hills, I should say, of Malibu, and the sun-drenched valleys of Moore Park, the Golden State is losing its luster. For nearly 80 years, Larry Thorne's family has watched the Pacific fog roll over fields that feed the community. But today, the view is clouded by a different kind of threat. A triple hit of $7 a gallon diesel, soaring electricity rates, and a regulatory environment so suffocating that local farmers are calling it a, quote, master plan, unquote, to run the working class out of the state. At the last farm in a town of million-dollar estates, or as the last farm, in a town of million-dollar estates, Thorne faces a breaking point where the region's Mediterranean climate can no longer offset the reality of Sacramento's energy agenda. And Thorne told Fox News Digital at his farm on a bright, crisp April morning, quote, the California government has its head in the sand when it comes to energy. Every force in agriculture for the last 40 years, it's been get big or get out. And so the people who took on the challenge of just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, a lot of those people are surviving. The small farmer is not. Unquote. About a 40-minute drive north of Thorne's farm lies the 3,000-acre Underwood family, owned and operated by 83-year-old Navy veteran Craig Underwood. He has spent over half a century coaxing life out of the Ventura County soil and has seen market crashes and droughts. But he's never seen a $70 flat of strawberries or a $1,600 per acre regulatory cost tied to a head of lettuce. Excuse me. It seems like every year we cut costs. And these are the words of Mr. Underwood. And we try and get a little bit more money. But every year the costs increase more than we've been able to cut them. And the money that we receive is less. Underwood told Fox News Digital under the shaded cover of his farm's educational center. He went on, this is a really tough economic time, very comparable to the 80s, when a lot of farmers went out of business. And I think a lot of farmers are feeling that pressure right now. Unquote. These men represent a vanishing breed of California farmers. Their calloused hands behind your grocery cart now being forced to pay nearly $7 per gallon of diesel fuel and told by a state government to trade their tractors for an electric transition the grid may not support. Well, there's a great deal more good information there, and since this is reasonably recent, you can probably still find it on Fox News. If you just search, you can search for the $1,600 lettuce, or you can search for California growers want a master plan This is Fox News. I don't have a date for it. Good article, though, and it goes on for two or three more pages about the challenges facing California. And basically the fact is just not doing anything to help the state of California. It is not. Well, what else do we have here? From the Gateway Pundit, which always has some good articles. This one by Christina Layla, April 20th. Cash Patel sues the Atlantic for $250 million for defamation. And it says, over the weekend, and again, this is dated April 20th, over the weekend, Cash Patel, FBI director, has said he will sue the Atlantic magazine over their latest hit piece. During an interview with Fox News host Maria Bartiromo on Sunday morning, Patel was asked about the recent article that claimed he has, quote, alarmed colleagues with episodes of excessive drinking and unexplained absences, unquote. Now, Cash Patel said to Maria Bartiromo, Maria, I'm happy to announce to you on your show that we're not going to take this lying down. You want to attack my character? Come at me. Bring it on. I'll sue you in court. Actually, to be more exact, it says, I'll see you in court. And Maria says to Patel, so you're going to sue them? And Patel replied, absolutely. It's coming tomorrow. Tomorrow you will be dropping a lawsuit against the Atlantic magazine? Maria asked. And Patel replied, yes, I will. But defamation. Because you know what, Maria? We have to fight back against the fake news. It's one of the many things President Trump is so successful at and leaning out on. I won't tolerate their attacks on me because they are indirect attacks on the men and women of the FBI that we have cleaned up. If the fake news mafia wants to, you know, ring that drum beat as loud as they can, they're never going to stop me from completing the mission that President Trump asked me to do, which is safeguarding America. And we are doing it better than ever before, Cash Patel added. And a little bit more, but that's the main stuff on that article. Again, that's from the Gateway Pundit by Christina Layla, April 20th. Cash Patel sues the Atlantic, etc. Well, we're getting short on time, and my voice is getting short on voice. We'll be taking another sip of coffee. Maybe that'll help a little. And we have a few other things that we may go into more when my voice is better next week. Here was something from the Washington Times on April 26th. Fourth attempt on Trump's life raises fresh questions about Trump derangement syndrome. That, again, was April 26th, the Washington Times. And another one you may have heard on Fox News, but this article came from the Washington Times, that the so-called defender of the poor, the Southern Poverty Law Center, is in trouble. And Family Research Council is helping the feds take on the Southern Poverty Law Center. And, of course, they've been a left-wing organization that has basically come under fire because, and I should add that they've branded a lot of conservative groups as hate groups. Seems like all you have to be is a conservative group, and they'll call you a hate group. And Tony Perkins, head of the Family Research Council, that his organization is assisting the FBI's investigation of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has been indicted for funding hate groups it claimed to fight. So, it says since 2014, the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, has delivered $3 million to eight individuals associated with notorious hate groups such as the Ku Klux Klan, the National Socialist Movement, and the American Nazi Party. The group considered the money payments to informants, but used sham bank accounts to shield the source, according to the federal indictment. Well, it does look like they're in a bit of trouble now, if for nothing else, but for lying to the public. And I sincerely hope their whole reputation has been destroyed, because they've tried to destroy a lot of good, honest groups, from what I hear. At least that's my opinion. There we have, and that, by the way, was Washington Times by Kerry Pickett, April 27th. There's time to name a few more headlines. New York Post, how the delusional Democrats are creating an alternate left-wing universe. This is by a well-known author who's appeared many times on Fox News, Victor Davis Hanson, distinguished author. That one is well worth looking at. For the New York Post, how the delusional Democrats are creating an alternate left-wing universe. April 27th. Then we got one or two others. This one might be a little dated, but it's still worth saying. Iranian woman with a U.S. green card busted at LAX for trafficking drones, bombs, and millions of rounds of ammo on behalf of the Tehran regime. That's the Gateway Pundit, April 19th. Yeah, you may have heard about that on Fox News. One of these supposedly Iranians who came to the U.S. to seek persecution, and yet she's funding the very government she said was going to hurt her. What do you know? Well, it's good to hear from all of you. Thank you for listening. Write to me, Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland. And the zip is 21609. Check out our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. And I hope I'll sound a little better by next week. Thank you for listening. Support us if you can. Good night.